A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Unlimited budget. Deliberately seeking out the worst possible travel experiences. Daniel's asking us to construct a round-the-world itinerary of disappointment. Not just places that are a bit underwhelming, but destinations that fail across multiple axes simultaneously. Overpriced, hostile, hollowed out by overtourism, and inauthentic. The kind of trip where you'd be wishing you were home before the first leg was over. And he wants it sequenced geographically, so someone could actually follow it. A logical route of globe-hopping doom.
I love this. It's like reverse engineering misery. And the thing is, you can't just pick places that are bad. There are plenty of dull suburbs and industrial estates nobody expects anything from. The real art is finding destinations that were once worth visiting and have been destroyed by their own success. That's where the disappointment cuts deepest.
The Paris Syndrome problem. You arrive expecting transcendence and get a cue.
And we've got the data to build this properly now. Multiple studies in the last 18 months have analyzed nearly 100,000 traveler reviews across 100 cities, ranking them on crowding, cost-to-value ratio, authenticity erosion, and active hostility. We can construct an itinerary where every stop fails on at least three of those axes.
So, we built the trip. But first, we needed to define what we were looking for.
Five axes. First, crowding. Tourists per local. Dubrovnik leads the world at 16,250 tourists per 100 locals. That's 162 tourists per resident. Venice, which everyone talks about, is at 42. Second, the fame to reality gap. How heavily the destination was hyped versus what it actually delivers. Third, cost without value. Premium prices for mediocre experiences. Fourth, authenticity erosion. Local life hollowed out until the place becomes a theme park of itself. Venice's population collapsed from 175,000 in the 1950s to about 50,000 today.
That number still gets me. 125,000 people didn't just move. They were moved out by the economics of tourism.
Fifth axis is active hostility or rudeness. Paris tops that list pretty consistently, but Barcelona residents were spraying tourists with water and chanting, "Go home," in July 2024. And here's the paradox that runs through all of this. Every destination on our list was once worth visiting. WorldRank put it perfectly about Porto. It isn't overrated because it isn't beautiful. It's overrated because the thing people came for is being crowded out by the people coming for it.
The tragedy is baked into the premise. All right, with our criteria established, let's start the itinerary, and we begin in a place that might surprise you.
Orlando, Florida. 10.6% negative reviews in Radical Storage's analysis of nearly 100,000 reviews. It's the entry point to American disappointment. Theme park fatigue, punishing wait times, relentless heat, and a city built entirely around extracting money from families. You land, you're jet-lagged, and you're immediately in a machine designed to separate you from your savings while you stand in line for 90 minutes in 95-degree heat.
And the humidity. Don't forget the humidity. Don't forget the humidity.
Then, up to New York. Times Square, 131 million annual visitors, 360,000 people daily on narrow sidewalks. Nomad eSIM's 2026 ranking puts it as the third worst tourist trap globally, with over 1,000 tourist trap mentions. It's overpriced, chaotic, and actual New Yorkers avoid it like it's radioactive. New York also ranks as the rudest city in the U.S.
131 million people. That's roughly the population of Japan, compressed into a few city blocks.
Then west to San Francisco, specifically Fisherman's Wharf, the number one tourist trap in the world for the second consecutive year. 1,109 negative reviews, overpriced seafood, aggressive souvenir hawkers, zero authentic San Francisco character. It's a waterfront mall that happens to be near a bay.
So that's leg one. North America. You've been fleeced, jostled, and disappointed before you've even left the continent.
Leg 2, Latin America. Cancun, the single most disappointing city on Earth per Radical Storage's analysis. 14.2% negative reviews, the highest of any city analyzed, and the highest frequency of rip-off mentions. It was built from scratch as a purpose-built resort zone in the 1970s, and it shows. Travel Binger described it as feeling less like Mexico and more like a corporate playground.
That's the authenticity erosion in its purest form. It wasn't even a real place that got ruined. It was a fake place from the start.
Then Punta Cana, Dominican Republic. 11.9% negative reviews, third most disappointing globally. The core problem, anything outside the resort gates isn't worth visiting, and vendors are relentless. Travel Binger again, a beautiful painting in a frame you could never leave. The moment you step outside, the illusion cracks.
So you've paid to be trapped in a gilded cage, and the alternative is worse. That's a special kind of disappointment.
Leg 3, Europe. And we need a transition from the Americas, so we start in Antalya, Turkey. 12.2% negative reviews, second most disappointing city globally. A 5-day family trip now costs 4,000 to 5,000 euros. European tourists face a nearly 50% price increase in euros since the pandemic. You're paying premium prices for a package holiday experience that used to be the budget option.
Then Greece. Mykonos and Santorini back to back.
Mykonos first. Cocktails over 20 euros, basic accommodations wildly marked up, and the notorious DK Oyster restaurant over 2,000 bad reviews for surly service, intimidation tactics, and bills hitting £1,000. The Independent sent someone to investigate. They documented staff physically blocking exits until tourists paid.
That's not rudeness. That's extortion with a view.
Santorini. Overrun by influencers and honeymooners. Sunsets in Oya are a chaotic photo frenzy where people literally shove each other for the perfect shot. A simple meal with a caldera view costs over 50 euros. The island now caps cruise crowds at 8,000 per day for 2026, which tells you how bad it got.
8,000 people, all trying to photograph the same sunset. At some point, you're not experiencing a sunset. You're attending a sunset-themed riot.
Then Dubrovnik, Croatia. This is the one that should get more attention than Venice. 16,250 tourists per 100 locals, 162 tourists per resident. That's roughly 4 times Venice's ratio. The walled old town has largely emptied of permanent residents. Cruise ships disgorge thousands at a time onto streets built for hundreds. World Rank's description, Dubrovnik is breathtaking, and that's precisely the tragedy. Its beauty is real, but on a summer day you experience it as a queue.
A queue. A medieval walled city reduced to a line you stand in.
And then Venice itself. 10.6 million visitors a year for 50,000 residents. Population collapsed from 175,000 to 50,000. Italy charges day trippers an entry fee and has banned large cruise ships. Gondola rides cost 80 to 100 euros. And here's the thing. Venice rarely disappoints with its beauty. It disappoints with its crowds. You can see the thing, you just can't experience it.
The beauty is still there. It's just behind 12,000 other people.
Barcelona. 26 million visitors for 1.6 million residents, a 16-to-1 ratio. In July 2024, 3,000 residents protested, spraying water and screaming, "Go home," at tourists. Las Ramblas is the third worst tourist trap globally, with 969 negative reviews. The city announced a short-term rental ban effective 2028.
The residents are actively hostile, and they're not wrong. That's the uncomfortable part.
Paris, the world's least welcoming city per Rough Guides. The Eiffel Tower rocketed from 9th to 4th worst tourist trap globally, with complaints nearly tripling from 303 to 924. The Louvre welcomed 9 million visitors in 2024, then staff staged a spontaneous strike in June 2025 protesting overtourism. The Mona Lisa alone draws 20,000 visitors daily, each of whom gets roughly 15 seconds in front of a painting behind bulletproof glass.
15 seconds. You've flown across the world, navigated Parisian hostility, paid your admission, and you get 15 seconds in front of a postage stamp-sized painting behind glass.
London rounds out Europe. Londoners ranked among the rudest in the world. The London Eye is the UK's number one tourist trap, more than doubling negative reviews from 338 to 849. pickpocketing and phone snatching common around Oxford Street and Leicester Square, you and Europe having been overcharged, jostled, and possibly robbed.
That takes us through Europe's greatest hits of disappointment. But the trip isn't over. We still have Africa, Asia, and a final stop that one German tourist described as literally built on hell.
Leg 4, Africa and the Middle East. Marrakesh, Morocco. Jardin Majorelle jumped from 22nd to 10th worst tourist trap globally, with complaints surging from 91 to 470, a fivefold increase driven by viral social media. The Medina described as the Disneyland of Morocco. Ranked 4th least welcoming city. One traveler quoted in Glam Glow magazine, "I expected authentic and a bit terrible, and I was still excited. I got authentic and very terrible."
That might be the most honest review ever written.
Then Giza and Cairo. The pyramids are a perennial disappointment. Aggressive vendors, relentless scamming from airport to monument, and the pharaoh's revenge, food poisoning. Egypt consistently appears on most regretted destination lists. Interestingly, the pyramids actually dropped on Nomad's tourist trap ranking from 15th to 34th, which could mean conditions are improving or that visitors have simply stopped complaining because they've given up.
Or the people who'd complain have been warned off entirely, and only the stoic remain.
Leg 5, Asia. We open with Pattaya, Thailand. Soaring prices, unpleasant odors, a nightlife scene described as oversaturated and mechanical. The Pattaya Mail has been running articles asking what went wrong. The city has lost whatever magic it once had, and what's left is expensive and smells bad.
Expensive and smells bad isn't what you want on a tourism brochure.
Bangkok. The most overrated capital in Asia for the second consecutive year. 18.4% negative reviews in 2024, up from 16.6% the year before. Legendary traffic jams, polluted river, overwhelming humidity. Khaosan Road is Bangkok's most disappointing spot, a backpacker street that's become a caricature of itself.
Phuket next.
118 tourists per local. World Ranked ranks it 6th most overrated globally. Beaches eroding, water and waste systems strained. The strip's now read more like an open-air resort mall than anywhere Thai.
And then Bali, which might be the most damning entry on this entire list.
6.33 million foreign tourists in 2024 on a small island. Here's the statistic that should stop everyone. A single tourist uses 1,785 liters of water per day. A local uses 14. Hotel guests use 4,000. That's 127 times more water than a resident. Plastic pollution, traffic gridlock in Canggu, cultural erosion. Travelbinger, the island of God, sold its soul.
1,785 liters versus 14. You can't visit Bali and call yourself a responsible tourist. The math doesn't work. Your mere presence consumes over 100 times more water than the people who actually live there.
Kyoto. 10.88 million foreign visitors in 2024 for 1.5 million residents. 90% of residents complain about overtourism in surveys. Tourists banned from private alleys in the Guiyan Geisha district with fines of 10,000 yen. A lodging tax of up to 10,000 yen per night for premium accommodations took effect March 2026. The city is actively making itself less accessible.
90%. That's not a vocal minority. That's essentially everyone.
Beijing rounds out Asia. 11.2% negative reviews, 4th most disappointing city globally. Reviews frequently cite language barriers and air quality, ranked among the rudest cities.
Leg 6, Oceania. 2 stops to finish the job.
Bondi Beach, Sydney. Ranked among the world's most overrated in 2026. Overcrowded, over-commercialized, a far cry from the pristine surf paradise marketed. Then Rotorua, New Zealand, our final stop. A German tourist's viral one-star review described it as literally built on hell LLL. Stench, overwhelm, and mental exhaustion. The sulfur smell is genuine. It's a geothermal area. But combined with the tourist trap atmosphere, it becomes a uniquely disappointing finale. You end your round-the-world trip of misery in a city that smells like rotten eggs and feels like a gift shop.
23 stops across 6 continents. Crowded, overpriced, hostile, inauthentic, and in many cases, actively falling apart. And here's the thing. Every single one of these places was once worth visiting. That's what makes it tragic rather than just funny.
The destinations are fighting back, too. Venice's entry fee, Barcelona's rental ban, Kyoto's alley fines, Santorini's cruise caps, Amsterdam's stay-away campaigns. Cities are deliberately making themselves less accessible to save themselves, which, ironically, makes them even more disappointing for the tourist who does show up. You finally get to Venice and discover you need a reservation and a fee just to walk around.
The paradox of success. The thing people came for is being crowded out by the people coming for it.
I worked on cruise ships for 3 years. Early 2000s, Mediterranean routes. Dubrovnik, Venice, Mykonos, the whole circuit. Entertainment director. In 2002, Dubrovnik in October was quiet. You could walk the walls with maybe 20 other people. The old town still had residents who'd wave from their windows. Bakeries, not souvenir shops. By 2005, we were disgorging 3,000 passengers at a time, and the bakeries were gone, replaced by Game of Thrones merchandise and gelato stands. The residents didn't leave because they wanted to. They left because their apartments became worth more as Airbnbs than as homes. I watched a city sell its soul in real time, and I was part of the machine selling it.
3,000 passengers at once. That's, the old town in Dubrovnik has, what, maybe 4 or 5 main streets? You're adding the population of a small town into a medieval walled city in the space of an hour.
45 minutes was our standard disembarkation window. Get them off, get them spending, get them back by 5. I recommended DK Oyster on Mykonos to passengers. Told them it was the authentic local experience. This was before the bad reviews, before the 1,000-pound bills. I probably sent 200 people there. I think about that sometimes.
200 people you personally directed into what became one of the most notorious tourist traps in Europe.
I didn't know. None of us did. The place was charming in 2003. Family run, good seafood, reasonable prices. Then the cruise ships kept coming and something changed. The owners realized the customers were never coming back anyway. Why not charge 800 euros for lunch? There's no repeat business in cruise tourism. The thing you're missing in all your analysis is how fast it happened. You're quoting studies from 2025 and 2026, but the transformation was basically complete by 2010. What you're studying now is the aftermath. The patient's been dead for 15 years, you're just doing the autopsy.
That timeline actually explains something I've wondered about. Why some of these destinations feel not just crowded, but resigned. Like they've stopped trying.
They have. Venice stopped trying around 2008. The residents who were going to leave had left. What remained was a city run by and for the tourism industry. Everyone you interact with. The gondolier, the cafe owner, the hotel clerk. They're all working for the same machine. And they know you're leaving tomorrow.
So where does that leave us? A world full of places that were once worth visiting now hollowed out by the very people who wanted to see them. And we're all complicit. Anyone who's ever booked a flight to any of these destinations is part of the demand that created the machine.
The open question is whether there's any ethical way to visit these places now. The destination's fighty back suggests some hope. Venice's entry fee, Barcelona's rental ban, Kyoto's fines. But the tourist who shows up today is still part of the problem, not the solution. The most disappointing thing about this itinerary isn't the crowds or the prices or the rudeness. It's that every single stop was once worth visiting. The tragedy is that we know what we missed.
If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. Or better yet, don't visit any of these places. Leave them for the people who live there.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Email us at show@myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear. Next time. time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.